Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, another spot in the 2021 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic has been secured this time by McKendree University's Trevor McKinney, who beat teammate Blake Jackson in a close and hard-fought Classic Bracket tournament on Lay Lake this past week. We'll have McKinney in our Rapala Winner Circle next week. And speaking of Rapala, McKinney did nearly all of his damage on a Chartreuse DT6. We'll also have the winner of the Central Open that's taking place right now on Louisville Lake in Dallas. Now, today we catch up with 2020 Elite Series Rookie of the Year, Austin Felix, the Sleepy Assassin. Does he like that nickname that Dave Mercer gave him? Well, I'll ask him. And remember, going into the season finale, Austin was right there in the Angler of the Year race as well. We also had some huge news coming out of the Bass home offices in Birmingham this week with the news that Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1 will carry live coverage of the Elite Series and Bassmaster Classic next season with 6 hours of live coverage each weekend along with the Bassmaster live coverage throughout the events. Bass CEO Bruce Aiken will join us to discuss how this deal came about. And finally, last week, Pat Schloppler of Wisconsin won the TNT Bassmaster Nation Championship, earning a spot in the Classic and on the Elite Series for 2021. The 38-year-old Schloppler quit his job and went fishing this year with the goal of making the Elites, and he did it, and he's third in the Eastern Open AOI race as well.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And speaking of Phoenix Boats, let's talk to a Phoenix pro that won the Rookie of the Year. And I'll tell you what, heading into Lake Fork, I thought this guy's going to win the Rookie of the Year and the Angler of the Year. The only problem is it didn't work out that way at Lake Fork for him. He slipped on the list a little bit, but cruised to the Rookie of the Year win and ended up seventh in the Angler of the Year standings. And he joins us now, Austin Felix. Austin, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Honestly, I think it's only been about a week, and I already am getting a little bored wishing there was another tournament to fish.
Well, you know, come down and fish the Eastern Open. You could do that. There's still probably a spot you can get in there and fish that deal. But, man, what a whirlwind year and a kind of a start-and-stop type thing for you. But before we get into all of that, I got to ask you something. You were glossed one of the great nicknames by our friend Dave Mercer, I think, is the one that came up. But it might have been Zona. I don't know. It was either Mercer or Zona. But you're the Sleepy Assassin, and there is not a more fitting name than the Sleepy Assassin. Now, are you okay with it, or does it bother you, or you like it? Because I think it's fantastic.
No, I'm totally okay with it. It is what it is. I'm just happy to get a nickname and kind of feel included in the whole thing. Yeah. And it's one of those deals you can either steer into the skid or not. So best thing to do is embrace it and make it a positive thing. So that's what we're planning on doing from here on out.
Hey, man, you got to get somebody to do up a little logo. I mean, you got to have a little logo on the windshield of a new wrap. You know, I mean, to play that Sleepy Assassin thing up to the hilt. I mean, that's fantastic. Get a little logo on the shoulder of your jersey or something like that. There's got to be some way. I don't know what that logo might be. but there's got to be somebody that can design something for that. I think it's fantastic, and it kind of fits your personality. But I don't know if you knew this or not, because you're a young guy, but Dale Earnhardt, he used to fall asleep in the car pre-race. And you know, and he was the intimidator, and they used to always joke about how casual and how calm he was in his nerves were. And he would literally, they would have to wake him up. He'd be sitting in the car sleeping before the call to start engines. That's how casual he was. And you know, with you, is it your personality? You're just kind of laid back and you're locked in and you're focused, or is it just the way you've always been?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been pretty even keel. I try not to get overly emotional, overly excited, but I mean, I still get jacked up when I catch a big one or when I do really well, but I don't know. It just, I'm not an overly animated person, I guess. It's something that it might be even to a fault, because I feel like I need to put myself out there a little bit more just to, for the fans and for everybody else. But I assure you, I absolutely enjoy everything I'm doing.
No, you don't have to do anything but be yourself. I mean, that's all you got to do is be yourself. But we did get to see a little bit more of your personality the last few events, and I thought it was kind of cool the way you were taking care of business. Now, you came rocketing up the list. I mean, after Gunnersville, a 40th place finish there, you had been very steady at St. Clair and at Lake Champlain. You had a good tournament at the St. Lawrence. You were 25th. You had 25th, 18th, 13th, getting better. A little bit of a stumble at Gunnersville, grabbing that last Saturday cut spot. But then, you know, you go to Santee Cooper, you're fourth. You go to Chick, you're fifth in what was a really tough event. Now, all of a sudden, you're in command of the ROI, but you're second in the AOI. What was your emotions? What were you thinking as you head to Texas Fest, knowing that you got a chance to win the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, I said a few times I was glad that Clark waited until Chickamauga to slip so I didn't have to think about it more than about a week. Because, I mean, I was definitely thinking about it. I don't feel like it changed my practice or the way I fished at all, just because I was dialed into what I wanted to do, and I wasn't really going to let that affect me. But definitely the week leading up to it, when I was hanging out at home, when I was driving down there, it put on a lot of miles running through my head.
Yeah,
for sure, thinking about the possibilities of Angler of the Year. But I knew going into it, both Mullins and Wendlandt had a ton of experience on that lake, and I was new to it, so it was kind of one of those deals. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And I was just going to fish as hard as I could. Obviously, it didn't work out the way we wanted it to, but for the first year, I couldn't have been happier with overall how I did.
No, it was outstanding. Austin Felix with us here, coming off his Rookie of the Year campaign in the 2020 season. Phoenix Pro out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And coming up a little bit later, you know, Pat Schloppler is going to join us. He has made it to the Elite as well through the nation, and he's also will be fishing in the Bassmaster Classic. He's had three great tournaments in the Opens. And, you know, we just think about you guys up there, you Wisconsin guys, you Minnesota guys, you know, guys that have done such a great job. Seth Fighter from up in that neck of the woods as well, and so many of you is on tour. We know that you have so many natural lakes. It's a beautiful, beautiful. I'm from the Finger Lakes, so I get an idea of a little bit of what you guys deal with there. But talk about fishing all these reservoirs and everything, because I know it took me a long time to adjust to the reservoirs. And, you know, but talk about how that's been for you, because so many of you guys are having success.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about being up here. Both Minnesota and Wisconsin have so many lakes and such a diversity of lakes that the transition down south, whether it's tidal fisheries, whether it's Tennessee River, whether it's blueback herring or spotted bass lake, we've all pretty much seen something similar with it, because we have everything from dirty water. We got wood. We got current with the Mississippi River. We got clear smallmouth lakes, and we got Sturgeon Bay and Great Lakes and Lake Michigan stuff. So we get to see a wide variety. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of these upper Midwest guys do so well, is because they can lean on their strengths and that they're diverse, really diverse anglers.
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic to see the success guys are having from really all over the country. It's an amazing thing. We're the best get together on the Bassmaster Elite Tour. All right, I don't know if you know this or not, but our Bassmaster Radio Studio is in Winchester, Tennessee. I literally could walk to the plant, to the Phoenix plant, and I have gone over. And I haven't walked, but I've gone over there and seen how they make those boats, and they do such a Gary and his whole crew, Teresa Johnson, all of them. They do such a great job at Phoenix Boats, and you have run the Elite 21 this past year, but you're going to an Elite 20 for next year. Same beam, same 250 Merc on there, everything else, just a little bit shorter boat. Why making that move?
Honestly, I just don't really feel like I need that extra foot on the bow. Mm-hmm. I've always ran a 20 footer up until this year. And I picked the 21 Elite because I wanted to run the new Elite boat. But when we had to put our orders in for the 2020 season, they weren't currently making that 20 Elite yet. They were right. 21. So I ordered that one up, and then they started making 20. And I feel like you don't really get any extra storage out of the larger boat, so I'd rather have a little bit more speed. That also with, I noticed just running Phoenixes throughout the years that how you move your weight around the boat does affect the speed of the boat quite a bit. So having just a shorter boat is going to eliminate that. And yeah, I don't feel like I need it. I've ran that 20 footer. I ran a 20 PHX for a couple of years, and that was an incredibly good, even super big water boat. I don't think you need a 21 foot boat to be out in big water, especially if you got a Phoenix. They tend to ride with their nose up a little bit, so you avoid spearing those waves like a lot of the other manufacturers tend to. They tend to hunt those waves down. But so yeah, that's really what it came down to. I wanted to run a 20 Elite this year to see how it is. If I think it's too short or I'm not a huge fan, guess what? Next year, I'll run 21.
And that's my experience has been is with Phoenix is everybody knows they scoot. But man, the way it handles the heavy water, it's just amazing. And I was fishing a tournament not too long ago with my oldest son. And he remembers back in the day when I ran a different boat. And he's like, he kept kind of bracing himself. And it was maybe a 2.5 foot chop or something that was going to kind of brace me. And he was like, I cannot believe how rock steady this boat is. And that's been my experience with the Phoenix is you got all the speed you want, but man, does it handle heavy water well.
Oh yeah. It's incredibly soft and very, very easy to drive in a little bit bigger water too. Like you get those 2.5 to 3 foot waves and whether you're running a Ranger or a Basket or something, all those almost run with their nose pointed down towards the water. So it's very unforgiving. If you screw up just a little bit, all of a sudden you got 6 inches of water rolling down the front of your deck, whereas them Phoenixes are, they run with their nose a little bit higher, so it's forgiving. Even people who aren't masters at running big water can usually get from point A to point B without stuffing anything, swamping their boat, that kind of deal.
Good stuff.
And yeah, the comfort level is ideal. I can't tell you how many times I've had a marshal or a co-angler or a camera guy sit in my boat, and by the end of the day or even in the morning they say, oh, thank God I'm in a Phoenix, because they know that they're not going to get their teeth kicked in by waves or anything like that.
That's a great point. Austin Felix has been our guest. Congrats on the Rookie of the Year, Austin, and look forward to seeing you at the Classic.
All right, we'll see you in a few.
All right, thank you. All right, we get a break in here. When we come back, how about the boss, Bruce Aiken? He's up next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now a chance to talk to the boss. There was some big news, as I told you in the open. There was some huge news that came out this week about the new relationship between Bassmaster and the Elite Series and Fox Sports. And there's going to be so much live coverage now this upcoming year, not just for a few events, but for every event, Saturday and Sunday, live coverage of the Bassmaster Elite Series and the Bassmaster Classic. We'll get into that with Bruce Aiken, who joins us now. Bruce, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Great to be back on, Tom. Doing well.
We had Eric.
Crazy time.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but we had Eric Lopez on a few weeks ago, and I praised him and his crew for getting this schedule in. But to you as well, and to everybody at Bass, it's amazing when every league, no matter what kind of league, everybody's had cuts and changes and couldn't finish seasons and everything else. And you guys got an entire season in between you, the sponsors, and the communities. What a Herculean task, and to get this thing in. It was a great job.
Thanks, Tom, but it was. And like I said, Eric and his team, and really the whole team, it affects every aspect of the company, sponsors, of course, the anglers. They were really grateful, you know, for getting the season in as well. But, you know, they were participant in making it happen as well because all the protocols we needed to go through, and especially, you know, with the New York swing and all, and really all the way to the end. You know, we had some crowd limitations at Fork at Texas Fest, but everybody was so helpful. The local host communities, you know, we couldn't have done it without them and their flexibility as well and their guidance, and just again, you know, it's just all up and down the organization and the partners that we work with. So we're glad to have, you know, elite season behind. We've got just three or four or five events left in the year, and then we'll be turning the page to 21.
Yeah, and when you turn the page to 21, you're going to do it with Fox Sports. And, you know, back in the summer, when ESPN had no programming, you guys forged a deal to have live coverage of broadcast coverage of a couple of the Elite Series events. I wrote an article about it, actually, for Bassmaster.com, and comparing it to what happened with NASCAR. It was kind of the perfect storm in 1979 when there was a huge snowstorm that hit the Northeast, and everybody was locked in their houses and didn't have anything to do, and they watched a bunch of Southerners run around on a track, and the next thing you know, NASCAR became NASCAR. And, you know, not necessarily saying to that extent, but you had 7 or 8 million people watching this. And so it's like you can't put that paste, you know, back in the tube now. I mean, people want the live broadcast coverage, and that's what you've been able to do with Fox.
Really, by the time it was over, you know, we had 3 hours on Texas Fest with the last three right. hours of the year in that last event. And I think we had probably over 10 million wow. people that tuned in, and probably more than that, but certainly opened our eyes to what was out there, the opportunity. And then we you know, we're talking with ESPN and talking with Fox, and just, you know, you know, we've been with ESPN for 20 years, and everything's always been great there, great partnership. Of course, ESPN owned Bass for 10 years in the, you know, 2000s, and we, you know, are still good friends today. We still do some things with them.
Sure.
JM does in College Sports Arena for ESPN Plus, and you know, the college and high school. So we'll probably, you know, we'll continue to do things with ESPN, you know, they were pleased that we were able to do what we did, that they really opened the door with Fox for next year, and you know, weren't really able to, you know, commit you know, the 60 live hours that we will have with Fox, including 3 hours that will be on, you know, Fox broadcast of the Classic on Saturday of the Classic. So we feel real good about it. It's, you know, a fresh new look and all. We think the future is in live broadcast. You know, we'll continue to be on Bassmaster.com with all, you know, 24 hours of live each elite event. But we're excited, and I think, you know, everybody that we've heard from the anglers to the sponsors to the advertisers and host communities are really excited as well, because they'll have 6 hours each event, you know, exposure on Fox as well.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective for people, and look, the .com coverage has been phenomenal, but when we're talking about the people watching the stream on .com, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that are watching that live coverage. But when it switches to still a broadcast platform, now we talk about millions of people watching. So I think that that is a big thing. As this .com viewership continues, I know on my smart TVs here at our studios, it doesn't change at all because it looks the same because it's on the smart TV already. So I don't know if I'm watching a streaming program or if I'm watching something that's a broadcast program. But for the masses, it's still, it's the difference between hundreds of thousands and millions, and it's very, very important to take this next step.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, the Fox graphics and all on the 6 hours, each event, you know, that are on there. But we'll also be on some their digital platforms as well. So we feel like we'll be able to do a lot. Also, it will be, you know, the Fox is 8 to 11 Eastern on Saturday morning and Sunday morning. So we'll have a regular tune-in time
right.
that people will know to tune in. It will also, in most cases, be lead-in into to NASCAR and some of the other sports programming that Fox has on the weekends, and that's that was intentional.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about finishing the season. I think maybe us and NASCAR were the only two professional leagues that were able to complete
yeah.
an entire season.
So much crossover there, too, as yeah. well. And right. of course, you know, to deal with Martin Truex and so many of the guys, really, I go back to Dale Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt Jr., they're great fishermen,
yep.
love to fish, and so many of those guys do. So I think there'll be some fun with that as well. Now, this is, you know me, I'm the idea man, right? I always give you ideas, right? I never
That's
leave
right.
you without crazy ideas. Now, here's my crazy idea for this. Fox will have the Daytona 500, Lake Lloyd, okay? All right, you know, I'm going to see where I'm going here now. So promotion yeah. of all of this, we'll have already possibly had a tournament or maybe right around the time the tournament starts, but it's a month before the Bassmaster Classic. I say we get several really cool-looking wrapped boats in Lake Lloyd at the Daytona 500 and let Fox cameras show them, and they could show those guys out there, and then they could say, oh, coming up, you know, the Bassmaster Classic yeah. will be right here. See, there you go. Boats it's, in Lake Lloyd, our boats.
Well, you know, you texted me right in the middle of the, all the negotiation on Fox. I couldn't tell you what was going on, but
oh.
you were suggesting that we need to have television broadcast live.
Yes.
In 21. And, so I thought you had been tapping into the phones or something.
No,
but that's a great idea. And, you know, we may happen to have an elite tournament right around that time.
Right there, there, yeah,
Daytona as well.
Right up the road. That's why it'd be easy to get the boats into Lake Lloyd. You know, it'd be
right.
kind of fun. And,
yeah.
and God forbid somebody get. I know there's some big fish in Lake Lloyd. I mean, because the drivers
oh,
do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
The drivers fish
yeah.
that lake, and they, you know, so they know. Yeah. And it would be kind of fun. Bruce Aiken.
Well,
but
I may need to get in one of the boats and fish while you know.
Well,
make somebody think that I'm a professional. Or
you
something.
Could do that, and then we could also have a special fantasy fishing thing,
yeah.
which you would then win because. I don't think people know this,
yeah.
but you, as the CEO, actually won the house contest of all of the folks involved with Bassmaster. You were the best. Now, did you do that by just picking the chalk every week? Did you just take like the highest guy in each bid?
No,
okay.
really, you know you got to you have to pick some sleepers every once in a while. So yeah, I've got the trophy on my trophy case
there
over
you go.
Here. So I'll have to send you a picture of it. I get to hold that till at least, I guess, February when we start the new season. Then it goes to the winner of the first elite event next year. But I'll have it for a few months anyway.
Yeah.
And then I'll just have to claim it back again.
You just get it back. That's all. You can go back to back. Yeah. All right. In our last couple of minutes, the next question is people are going to say, when's the schedule coming out? Everybody's waiting with bated breath. We know we got, obviously, Lele coming up. We've got the college kids right now competing as we speak about the, you know, for the spot in the Classic and so on. How far out do you think before a schedule becomes public?
Yeah, I think we're a couple of weeks
okay.
away. We just got one or two to kind of nail down We keep getting people coming back to us wanting to have an elite tournament.
Right.
And when we think we just about got it finished up, and then we get something that, well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I'd say December 1st or so we should have the schedule, which is, of course, is later than usual, but that's been this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yep.
And I know some people feel like that's really tough on the anglers, but you're working with the anglers. The anglers know they got an idea
yep.
what's going to go
yep.
on early on, so
right.
they can do what they're
and
doing.
We've let them know, you know, some about the first few, so they can get housing and
right.
and things like that. So,
yeah.
But I'd say around December 1st
well,
we should have.
I think everybody's
yeah.
looking forward to 2021, put this whole 2020 thing to bed. But certainly in the fishing world, it was amazing. The new licenses, the new fishermen all around the country. This was something that people returned to their roots being outdoors. And bass was right there, a big part of all of that. And I think, honestly, there'll be a day when we'll look back and say, you know, as miserable as 2020 was, man, did it do some things for the outdoors world and for Bassmaster as well. And I'm stoked about this deal with Fox. This is going to be tremendous stuff, Bruce.
Yep. It's all working together.
That's
so,
it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. And appreciate your show and what you do. And I know all the anglers do as well.
Yeah. No, the guys have been great. It's been fantastic. And we're looking forward to year four coming up with Bassmaster Radio as well, beginning in January. Bruce Aiken has been our guest. Bruce, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Rapala Winners Circle, and we're going to do it with Pat Schloppler. He won the Nations Tournament and has now been invited to the Elites. He's going to accept that. He's going to be fishing in the Classic as well. It's all coming up next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and now a little bit of a different winner's circle. I mean, this is a great, great story, too, but joining us is the guy who won the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Championship on Pickwick. He had won his regional up at Vermilion, and then he turned around and won at Pickwick as well. He is now an Elite Series angler. He is qualified for the Bassmaster Classic. He's still got one more open to fish. He's fourth in the standings, or third, I think, in the standings right now in the Eastern Opens. Pat Schloppler, and he joins us now. Pat, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm busy, but I'm good, and I'm enjoying the ride right now.
Yeah, I guess so. 38 years old, Oliva, Wisconsin, and this is something you just went all in on, right? I mean, this was a deal here where it's one thing to be fishing and have your other foot in the corporate world and holding down your job, but you made the decision this past year that I'm going to make a run at this, and you have fished three opens. You finished 15th, 15th, and 23rd, which is outstanding. And then, of course, ripped through the nation to win this thing. So this is it's amazing how quickly, you know, guys do this for 10, 15 years trying to get to where you're at right now.
Yeah, I've been hearing that a lot. And I, you know, I can't explain how it's all shaken out like it has. But I work hard at it. And I guess that's what I usually rely on to carry me through and whatever it is in life, whether it was working or fishing. I mean, I have a strong work ethic that was instilled in me at a young age with my, you know, my dad and my grandpa. And you work hard and do things right, good things will happen. And that's kind of what I feel like has, you know, put me in this position.
You get this done, obviously, at Pickwick in 51 pounds, 10 ounces over the 3 days. You win by more than 7 pounds. First time you ever saw Pickwick, though, right? It's the first time you ever saw the, you know, I mean, I know you fished in Gunnersville and, you know, some other Tennessee River, but was that the first time you saw Pickwick?
Yeah, I did. I went down there for 4.5 days before the cutoff, you know, prior to Cherokee Lake. I just went down early and I went out a few days, and which that was in, you know, early October, quite a ways before the tournament. But that's the first time I've ever been down there. And when I went down to the pre-practice, I struggled quite a bit, but I just kind of looked for areas that I anticipated them fish would be moving, you know, later in the fall when this tournament was taking place. And that's kind of what happened.
Explain to us a little bit about how you did this. I mean, was this an offshore deal for you? Was it something that kind of fit into your eye? Explain exactly how you landed on what ended up being a motherlode.
Well, I mean, that I primarily tried to fish heavy current. You know, like where I'm from on the Mississippi River, I fish a few different pools. And generally in the fall, the water starts to cool down. Them smallmouth especially will start to migrate towards the dam and get in that heavy current. And I kind of leveraged my knowledge on that. I honestly, you know, I'm a humble person, but I honestly thought that a lot of the people that were going to come to this tournament weren't necessarily going to understand how to fish current, especially heavy current, as well as me, just because I've done it so much. So that's kind of how I practiced, was just look, you know, for current seams, topside points, tail outs, just classic stuff that you look for when you're fishing for smallmouth and heavy current. So that's how I spent the majority of my practice. I did go look for largemouth a little bit, which I thought that was going to be my weak point, was I didn't fish for largemouth enough. And I ended up, the largemouth that I did catch, which was, you know, I weighed several largemouth the first 2 days. I ended up just kind of scrambling around and fishing stuff that looked good to me. And, you know, caught some real nice fish doing that. But the bulk of my time, and I'm by the bulk, I mean 95% of my time was spent looking specifically for smallmouth and current.
Yeah, I mean, boy, I'll tell you what, when you talk about that final round for you, I mean, 23 pounds, 3 ounces, I mean, you just run into a pile of smallies, and they were all the same size fish. I mean, the big fish was 5'3", and the small, the baby was 4 pounds. I mean, that was just, that's just amazing. Tell us about how you figured that pattern out and what you were doing.
So that, you back up to like the first 2 days, I had found one small current seam where this was once again kind of lucky, where I had found this, the spot had been starting, and I found it back when I pre-practiced, and that was the first place that I went, on the official practice day. And the guy I had with me, Matt Burns, the co-angler champion from Wisconsin, he won the co-angler division up on Vermilion. He won the whole thing. So he's in the back of my boat, and I'm fishing this current seam up in front of me. And he throws a swim bait out in the middle in the current, like out the deep, like where no normal human would ever cast. Mm. And he catches a 4-pounder, smallie. And I'm like, second cast he ever made on Pickwick. He was super pumped. And then I cast out there and I caught one. I'm like, all right, there's something going on here. And then I left, never went back. And that's where I ended up starting all 3 days. On the first day I caught 4 in the first 5 casts. Second day I caught 2. Third day I caught 3 right away. And then they would stop. So those first 2 days, I went, scrambled around, caught what I caught. Well, that third day, I was 6 ounces out of the lead, but I was in position. And in my mind, I thought, well, I'll go start on them smallmouth on that one spot, and then I'm going to go hunker down in this one area I had found the day before and just fish largemouth the rest of the day and hope I would get, to that 14, 15-pound range where you'd have a chance at making the classic, maybe winning. But then I also thought, all right, I'm in position to win this thing. I know if I'm going to win it and put in, really win it, I got to spend some time on them smallmouth because, at takeoff, I was the only one that went up. Nobody else went up towards the dam. Everybody else went down. I was by myself. There was no recreational anglers out there. I literally had the whole thing to myself. So I thought, I'm going to give it till 10 o'clock. I don't care what happens. I got 2 in the box. I got 3 in the box. I got a good start. I'm just going to fish these smallmouth and see if I can figure something else out. So the second spot I had been going the previous 2 days for smallmouth, the current was ripping harder than I'd ever seen it. All the days I'd been down there, I didn't look at the numbers, but to me it looked like it was super heavy current. Mm-hmm. So I went to my second spot, and instead of trying to start right on it because the current, I started about 100 yards above it. And I started, even with spot lock, it would just basically slow your drift,
right,
is what it would do. So I got up above it, and I caught like a 12-incher, and I marked a waypoint. And I got down to where I was planning to fish, didn't catch anything. Like, I better idle back up there and check it out. So I idle back up there and get in position, and I caught 2 or 3. And I don't remember exactly how it all went down because it went so fast. But I caught a couple, and then I started to understand what was going on, and I figured out in about 5 minutes the cast I needed to make. And when I figured out that cast, I just started. When I would get that swim bait to land right and swing through there right, I mean, it was one of those deals where I knew I was going to get a bite. It was just, I knew it, and I started catching those big ones, and it's funny because you'd hook one of them big ones, you have to take it off spot lock and drift right to try to land it. And by the time it was all said and done, I'm a half mile away. So I would, catch that fish, put it in the boat and weigh it. And as I'm idling back up, I would enter it into Bass Track.
Right.
Because everybody's watching Bass Track, and I wanted to update it that last day with every fish catch. And by like the third drift, I'm like, holy cow, I got, 17 pounds. Probably got a good chance of making the classic. I might have a chance to win it. And every drift, all of a sudden, it's like by the end of the first flurry, I had almost 21 pounds. And
crazy.
It was absolutely crazy. It was happening so fast. It was one of those deals. My partner that I fish with back here, we call it getting in kill mode, where if it happens once in a tournament where you get in that zone and you just, it's hard to explain if, especially if you're not a tournament fisherman, but you just get that feeling in your gut, like, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to capitalize on these fish. It's happening right now, especially in a tournament like that where it was super tough. I caught 7 keepers the first day, I think 8 the second day. It wasn't like I was catching 20 fish a day.
Yeah.
And then that's all I was worried about, was getting that bait to land right and to get in that current the way I needed to get. And it was a short window. I mean, you had two or three casts on each drift to get it right.
Yeah.
And when I got it right, I mean, it was, them things just came unglued on it like they'd never seen a piece of food before in their life.
Bad Slobber with us here in the Rapala Winner's Circle here, talking about his win here, which puts him in the Classic, puts him in the Elite Series. He's accepted that invitation. He will be fishing in the Elites next year. Was it one piece of rock or that was breaking up the current or anything? Was it just one specific, or was it just they were just packed in there like cordwood along that stretch?
There was just a small current seam that, and I don't know how much you fish current or, you know, try to graph in current, but, you know, trying to graph up current, I couldn't get a really good image of what exactly it was.
Right.
It wasn't rock because, you know, I don't know if you read the story in Bassmaster.com, but it's only like 6 foot of water. And I was initially throwing a half ounce head. And that's what I caught, you know, probably 16, 17 pounds on. I caught one real big one on that. And then I was just like, I'm not touching the bottom. So I'm not getting hung up like I was on a lot of other spots I was fishing. So I kind of hunkered behind this little point and I tied on a 3/4 ounce head and started throwing that. And that's when stuff went crazy.
Yeah.
Once I put on that head.
They were buttoned right to the bottom, probably. They were tight
to the bottom. And yeah. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't rock.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was gravel or I don't know, but it was just enough of something to pack all them. And I've seen it a lot of other times on the Mississippi River, really similar to that, where, I mean, it seems like every fish within a mile is sitting in one little spot.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. I mean, after that first run, I had a giant bag and I honestly thought about going in early at 10:30, 11 o'clock because I didn't want to take the chance.
I can't imagine what it would be. I saw that in the story and I'm like, dude's sitting on like 22, 23 pounds. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. You had all that time to think about it. My God, I've made the Bassmaster Classic. I am going to get invited to the Elites. You had fished three national level bass tournaments, BASS tournaments, the three opens, which you did very well in and still have one to go at Lay Lake. And, you know, it's just an amazing story of how quickly this all came together. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit on 23 pounds while you're waiting basically to weigh in and have all day for that. And that's got to be, that's a waypoint that has got to be very, very valuable, young man. I mean, that's what you're probably just praying that there's another Pickwick tournament coming on the Opens or the Elites at some point in time. You could use that waypoint again.
I hope so. You know, and I didn't have, you know, I had 20, almost 21 pounds and I was close to going back. And then I ended up going back up there at 12:45 and I made two casts. And the first cast was a 462 and the second cast was a 491.
Wow.
Then I went to the marina and sat there for the last 45 minutes.
Just get me weighed in and get me my trophy. Get me out of here. I mean,
but you know how he is, a tournament angler. You're like, well, if I'm catching them, them other guys are probably catching them. You know, so it's just, you know, in my heart, I thought, man, every time I would catch a fish and upgrade, I'd be like, okay, now Blake's got to catch this much.
Right.
Now Blake's got to catch this much. And by the end of it, it's like, holy cow, he's got to catch 23 pounds to have a chance.
Yeah.
Like that, that's stout.
Crazy. So, and you had done it, though, 23 crazy. Pounds, 3 ounces on the final day to get the win. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the Elite Tour. That's going to be great. The Bassmaster Classic, all of these things out there in front of you. And I'll see you at Lay Lake. I'll be fishing it as a co-angler. So you got one more opportunity to do some more damage and pick up some more money down there at Lay Lake. And who knows, maybe win that thing. What a great, great story for Pat Schlopper as he goes ahead and gets this deal done and wins the Bass Nation Championship at Pickwick. Pat, congratulations, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
No problem. All right, what a great story that is. All right, we'll get a break. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we add a list show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Coming up, you will have a chance to win in the Bassmaster Weekly Winter Giveaway. Now, one winner each week, beginning December 4th through January 29th, 2021, will win a $1,000 Bass Pro Shops gift card, and you can enter daily for your chance to win. Just visit bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for details and to enter. Again, that begins on December 4th. Now is the time to make plans to be at the best 3 days in bass fishing, March 19th through the 21st, at the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic in Fort Worth, Texas. Watch the anglers take off at Ray Roberts State Park in Pilot Point, then head to Fort Worth to check out the huge expo featuring the latest in outdoor fishing and gear at Will Rogers Memorial Center, and experience the exciting weigh-in shows at the Dickies Arena. It's fun for the whole family. Meet Bassmaster pros, win prizes, and plenty of activities for the kids. And all events are free. Find more details at Bassmaster.com. Taking a look at the upcoming schedule. Next up is the Hook Bass Nation Kayak Series Championship at Chickamauga Lake. That is, of course, presented by Turney X and presented by Abu Garcia. That's November 21st. December 3rd through the 5th, it'll be the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open Finale at Lay Lake. And then the 2020 Bassmaster Team Championship is at the Harris Chain coming up December 9th through the 12th. And once again, we want to remind you that if you are listening to this on, say, Saturday morning, that you have all of the coverage of the Louisville Central Open at Bassmaster.com, Bassmaster Live, with Ronnie Moore there. This is critically important because a spot in the Classic could be determined. There could be spots also being determined, obviously, in the Elite Series, as well as the top four in the AOI points will qualify and get invitation to the Elite Series for next year. So there's a lot on the line here, just as there will be in a couple of weeks at Lay Lake as the Eastern Opens wrap up. A top four out of that will also qualify for the Elites, and then the next four in the overall AOI standings as well. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at bassmaster.com/radio, or you could just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Plus, if you have any questions or a guest you'd like to hear or a technique featured in our Technique of the Week, just go ahead and tweet it to us at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio, or you can hit the Facebook page at facebook.com/bass and leave us a comment there. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.